Bibles with me this morning. Grab your Bible slowly with me this morning. Would you hold it up if you believe it? Let's say it together. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. I boldly confess. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I will never be the same again. I will never be the same again. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you turn with me to the book of John, chapter 10? Book of John, chapter 10, our foundation verse for the series of hearing the voice of God. How many of you have been getting something out of this series of hearing God's voice over the last number of weeks? Good. These next few weeks are going to be the main focal part, and I'm just praying about where to cut it off for the Christmas and pick it up again in the new year, but the Lord will let me know that. Beginning at verse 1, John chapter 10, in red, I tell you the truth. The man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, he is a thief and a robber. And the man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of a sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. Say, listen. The sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he has brought out all of his own, he goes ahead of them, and his sheep follow him. Why? Because they know his voice. Because they know his voice. But they will never, say never, they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Would you bow with me in a word of prayer? Father, I want to thank you again that you have created us, your sheep, your children, to hear your voice. Thank you that you have given us voice and we can share that voice and speak. You hear us when we speak. But I thank you that you have made it for us to hear your voice with clarity. And so, Father, before we begin today, I ask for a fresh anointing. Would you take literal possession of me, my mind, my mouth? I invite you to flow through me that I would only say those things that I hear you say. And with the authority you've given in the name of Jesus, I bind up every demonic interfering spirit, every spiritual bird that would seek to snatch the seeds that are going to be sown. I command you to leave this building, to be outside the walls in Jesus' name. And Father, I want to thank you that while we are looking at your word, that you will be speaking words that are not going to come out of my mouth. You will be depositing rhema words into your children, every person under the sound of my voice. I ask today, Holy Spirit, you would empower them to know that it's you speaking. They would capture those words because we believe that one word from you can change everything. So I thank you in advance for what's going to happen this morning. Holy Spirit, we trust you. In the powerful and the beautiful name of Jesus, we pray, and everybody in agreement said, amen. Well, last week, how many of you here last week? Just raise your hand. Yep. If you weren't here last week, I encourage you to go on CastBox or go online, YouTube, Solid Rock Church, and you will be able to listen to all of the messages that are preached. I just want to say some of the Sundays when there is nothing on YouTube, it's because things took place in the church here that were far more personal and far more intimate, and those ones we do not post online. But all of the messages are online. If they're not up quickly, they will be up shortly. So just encourage you to go on and listen or to share it if they are a blessing to you. But last week, we talked about three areas specifically. The first one we talked about is when the Father speaks, when Jesus speaks, when the Holy Spirit speaks, God is speaking. Any of the three in the Trinity, when they speak, God is speaking. And so we talked about that with clarity. The second thing we talked about is when the Father speaks and the Son spoke, they spoke externally. They heard them with a physical human ear. His voice was external. We talked about transfiguration, talked about the baptism, talked about when Saul became Paul, talked about Jesus on earth when he was speaking. External, the physical ear heard it. When the Holy Spirit speaks, it is an internal hearing. It is an internal ear that hears. And we're going to talk more about that. The third thing we talked about is the Logos word without the Rhema is what? Dead. The Logos without the Rhema is dead. And we talked about one example last week that I'm sure was a very popular example. Wives, submit to your husbands. And if you weren't here last week, I encourage you to go online and listen to that. Some of you men will be very blessed by the freedom you get. So I encourage you to listen to last week's message. Before we begin today, if you're open, and I know you are, and we're going to do this, I'll do this carefully. I want to do a little test. In a minute, I'm going to ask all of you to shut your eyes. Then I'm going to come around, and I'm going to tap some of you on your shoulder. You'll open your eyes. You'll look at me. I'm going to have the mic in front of you. And all I want you to say is, isn't today a wonderful day? Something along that line. Everybody's eyes are closed. Then I'm going to ask you three questions. I'm going to say, how many of you recognize whose voice that is? If you do, you raise your hand. Then I'm going to ask you, how many of you kind of think you know whose voice it is? You raise your hand. I'm going to ask you, how many of you have no flipping clue who that is? You raise your hand. Okay? Now, how many of you, when you have instruction to close your eyes, instantly go, I'm not closing my eyes? I think it's the funniest thing at a Billy Graham crusade or any other one where the speaker says, now, would you all close your eyes, bow your head and close your eyes? You got a whole group of people going, who's going to raise their hand? Who's standing up? Who's getting saved again? Or there's an altar call going, you know, if you're feeling that you need to be delivered from a demon, we just invite you to stand. Nobody's going to see you. Their eyes are closed. You feel the freedom. Everybody's like, who's got a demon? Who's got? Okay, wait. Don't raise your hand if that's you. Okay? Now, what I will do is, when I'm going around, if I see your eyes open, I will mention your name. Okay? That's all I'm going to do. So if I'm walking around, I see your eyes open. If Jane's eyes are open, I'll go, Jane. And that will be the cue as a teacher for the student to close their eyes. If there is a spirit of obedience, the eyes will close. If there's rebellion, they'll look at me, give me a face, and keep them wide open. But if you function with rebellion, and if your eyes are open, and if you see who I'm tapping, don't raise your hand with any of the questions. You are disqualified from the test. Is that clear? So either you work with me or I'll work against you. Yes? Anything not clear? How many of you would love to be in my class as a teacher? Yes, thank you. Yes, that'd be awesome. Anything not clear about what I'm going to do? Good. Would you close your eyes, please? Reminder again that I'm going to be coming around and just tapping on the shoulder, and all you're going to say is, isn't today a wonderful day?
Isn't today a wonderful day?
Keep your eyes closed. How many of you know for certain whose voice that was? Raise your hand. Drop them down. How many of you kind of think you know whose it was? Drop them down. How many of you have no clue? Raise your hands higher, no clue people. Okay, keep them closed. Keep them closed. If you know for certain, raise your hand. Thank you. If you kind of know, raise your hand. If you have no clue, raise your hand. Okay. Keep them closed.
Isn't today a wonderful day?
If you know for certain, raise your hand. Drop them. If you kind of know, raise your hand. Drop them. If you have no flipping clue, raise your hand. Okay. Let's do one more.
Isn't today a wonderful day?
Hands are up all over. If you know, would you raise your hand? Yes, would you drop them? If you kind of know, would you raise your hand? Some of you, if you have no clue, raise your hand. Okay, drop your hands. Could you open your eyes? Can I just say there's a lot of you who have no clue? But that's normal. Now, let's talk about this for a second. There were some of you, the moment you heard the voice, the moment you heard it, you instantly knew on the inside of you who that person was. I want to know why. Why did you know? Say it out loud. You recognized it. Why else? Relationship. You got relationship. When you hear it, you know. What else? Communication. Back and forth. Frequency. The greater frequency you have with that person, the more familiar. All of a sudden you hear the voice, you attach it to the person, you got it. Now, can I ask you a question? How many of you, just close your eyes for a second, would you? Close your eyes. Isn't today a wonderful day? How many of you recognize the voice? Okay, all of you. We're talking familiarity. We're talking when you've heard that voice over and over and over, you hear it, you know it. Let me just say, I'll tell you with Jane. I phoned Jane. And how many of you have that phone ID thing? How many of you got that? You know who's on the phone before you see it. How come you got that? How come you got it? You want to know, right? Huh? You see whether to answer or not. Thank you for the truth, Ron. I have it too, by the way. I do. And the reason I have it, just so you know, if Jane ever calls, and you know this, if I'm in a meeting with you or if I'm in counseling and I get a phone call from Jane, I will set everything aside and I will take it. Years ago when we didn't have cell phones, if my children ever phoned the off-church office and the secretary screened and said, is this an emergency? And they said, yes, I would interfere, whatever I was doing, and I'd go answer it. And we had to learn and say, Dad, where's the peanut butter? It was not an emergency. Okay? We kind of had to deal with that as we were growing up. But here's the deal. Doesn't matter what phone, if Jane picks it up and I go, hi, babe, how many words do I have to say before Jane instantly knows it's me? After 36 years, the familiarity of my voice could say a single word, a two-letter word, hi. And she knows. She's not going, I wonder who this is. There's no wrestling. There's no questioning. There's no, I got to try and figure this out. Now, here's the deal. When somebody phones and they go, hi, Pastor Colin, and I don't recognize the voice. How many of you are really good at going, before we go on, could you just tell me who you are? How many of you really enjoy doing that? Just raise your hand. How many of you enjoy that? How many of you avoid that like the plague? While we're on this tangent, how many of you, when you're talking to somebody, they come up and go, hey, Gene, how are you? And Gene's looking and going, I don't know who you are. How many of you go, honestly, you go, before we, can I just, I don't know who you are. How many of you are honest that way? How many of you are honest? How many of you fudge it? You just carry on and hopefully it's going to come back to you. Yes, we know how that works, right? What I'm talking about in this whole area is when there is familiarity, when there is frequency, when there is a knowing of the person, when you hear the voice, you instantly know. Why would it be any different with God? We're going to talk today about what the Lord has laid upon my heart years ago growing me in the area of hearing the voice of God. But before we do that, I want to ask a couple of you. I gotta just say, and I wanna go back to a number of years ago when we began the healing room. How many of you remember Maggie from Arthur, Ontario? How many of you remember Maggie? She's the head of the Canadian Healing Room Ministry. She was doing training at the Norseman Inn. There was a number of us. It was in November. Went to the Norseman for a weekend. She was training about the healing room. God laid in my heart as she was speaking to approach and see if she was available on Sunday. I know she was flying back. But I said, would you be open to come to our church? I said, we would be open to pay for the change of flight if we need to rebook that, if you would be open to come. They got on the phone. Her secretary, what was her secretary's name? Anybody remember? Vanessa. Vanessa got on the phone, found out they could change the flight to later in that day. She came to the church. She spoke. At the end of it, the Lord laid in my heart and said, Colin, I want you to bless Vanessa. We brought Vanessa up, put her on the chair, and we did the banner thing. Some of you remember that. And we said, God, would you show us what is on the banner over Vanessa? And person after person after person stood up and shared what God showed them, shared a picture, shared a word, whatever. And I will never forget Maggie when she got up after, she said, wow, this church is full of greens. What green means is when you're in the healing room and you hear clearly from the Lord what he's saying about that person, you're a green. You got the green light to go. If you're a newbie just learning how to hear, you are a red light. You can be in there, but you don't talk. You wait until you know that you're hearing, and then you can speak. A yellow is, I've been in this for a while. I believe I'm hearing. When the person is outside the room, I'm going to share with the rest of the team. It'll either be confirmed or corrected. But she stood up and she looked and she said, I cannot believe the amount of greens in this church. She goes, I've never experienced that number of people who hear with clarity as they were speaking what the Lord showed over Vanessa. I just want to say, I when she said that, it didn't shock me at all. Because so many of you hear the voice of God with clarity. You hear it in your personal. You hear it in ministry. You hear it when it comes to teaching. You hear it when it comes to blessing people. You hear it when it comes prophetically. You hear the voice of God. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. I'm just going to get a couple because we could spend all day in this. Not going to do that. But I just want to ask a couple of you, and you will know if you are to share. You'll know. I just want to ask a couple of you to share the most significant thing that allowed you to move to a place where you were able to hear with clarity. I just want to hear from a couple of you. Just stand where you are when you know that it's you. Just stand where you are. Want to hear. Zach.
Oftentimes when people say that they're struggling to hear the word of God, I ask how the devotional life is. Because if you don't understand how the Lord speaks in the Logos word, you would not hear him with clarity and understanding in the Rhema word. For me, it was intimacy with the word of God every day opens the door to understand that language when it's spoken, Rhema.
It's good. Very good. Juju.
I think for me was when my life was complicated. And when I moved to Camrose, I was leaving a small town that I'd grown up in, coming here, had always felt that I needed to be in a different church than what I grew up in. So I heard about Solid Rock, started coming here, met some really good friends at that time, and I was over helping one of them move one day, and she had a lot of pain, and she said, would you pray for me? So she laid down, and I just started, praying. And I didn't understand, but I didn't know how to pray in the spirit at that time. I knew nothing really about how that operates, right? And I remember just moving my hand along her body, and I remember stopping my hand in one place and just praying for God to touch her and for her to be healed and for her to feel. I don't even know if I said anything about feeling, but I just prayed that that was the spot that God would heal it. And I didn't know about listening or hearing about God. And anyway, she says to me, because she'd been coming here for quite a few months before I had, she said to me, "Wow, you really hear God," and that you know. And I just said, "Oh, I don't know. I just knew, you know, that was what I was supposed to do." Anyway, we got up and we were busy. We're doing whatever, and we were moving her at the time, and there was a back alley that went along, and I came out to the door. All of us, two of us women were going to put a couch through this little tiny door. And as I came out to come out to the back to pick up the thing, it just all of a sudden dropped on me. And I said, "You mean that little nudging, that little void, that little feeling, that whatever that is that I knew inside, that was where I was supposed to pray, that's God?" And she goes, "Yeah, that's God speaking to you." And I stood there and I went like, and I remember standing on her little step going, "I've been hearing him my whole life." But right. I didn't know it. I didn't know what that was. I didn't know what that was inside of me, that it was the Holy Spirit. Because I'd been born again from when I was like 11 or 12, but I didn't know.
That's right.
Nobody had ever taught me or told me, or that I didn't know that. And I will never, never forget that dawning and that realization and that absolute, like, holy cow, that's so cool.
That's right. Isn't that cool? That is awesome. What I want to say at the very beginning, Judy, is okay? Okay. What I want to just make really clear, and Judy identified it, I want to say this straight up. Every person in here has been hearing God way longer than you ever think you have. You're going to discover that you have been hearing God and you just didn't even know it. We're going to be talking about that. I want to, I got to deal with a couple things before we get to where we're going here, but how many of you have ever heard people talk about hearing voices in their head? Hearing voices. Okay? Now, I want to say this really carefully, because in the psychological world, if you go and you say, "I'm hearing voices," what likely is going to happen? Institutional or medication. Right? Now, I want to say clearly, and we're going to talk about this more next week than this week. I just want to give you one example. In the early years when we were here, we used to do chapel in Rosehaven, one of the facilities in Camrose here. We were on a rotational basis. As a pastor, I was up there. One of the times when I was doing it, there was a lady who was sitting in the front row. And while I was talking, while I was singing, she was constantly talking and interrupting. And as we were doing that, the Holy Spirit just said to me, "Just go over there and speak to them and silence them." So I walked over, and she was sitting right here. The whole group in the chapel was there. We were just finished worshiping. I walked over, and I said, "In the name of Jesus, I command you to be silent." I wasn't talking to the lady. I was talking to the spirits in the lady. The moment I said that, she stopped talking. I carried on doing what we were doing. It was not a big, disruptive, Holy Ghost throw on the floor, vomit type thing at all. At the end of it, she was silent the entire time. At the end of it, I walked over to her and I introduced myself, and she was there, and I said, "How are you doing?" She looks at me and says, "I have never had silence in my head before." Had an opportunity to share with her the authority we have in Christ to shut down those voices. And let me say, when we talk about hearing voices, most of us take that as being, "I'm hearing demonic voices. I'm hearing horrible voices. I'm hearing stuff I don't want to hear." But the truth is, in the spiritual realm, most of our communication happens in the context of our mind. Let me say this really clearly. If someone followed you around all day and they had a stopwatch and all they did was click the amount of times that you were talking or you were hearing someone else's voice, how much of your day do you think it would be? For some of us, it might be a half hour. For some of us, it might be 3 hours. Depends on our job. The vast majority of us are not speaking all the time and not hearing someone all the time, and yet when that's not going on, there is stuff going on in our mind. Now, the old joke is, when you ask a man what he's thinking and he says nothing, believe him. When a woman says, when you ask a woman, say, what are you thinking? And she says nothing, you're in trouble. The reality is, though, in all of us, whether you're female or male, we have conversation going on in our minds all the time. Let me say this really clearly. We have all heard the statistic that only 4% of what is real is visible to the human eye. 96% is not seen by the human eye. What if I were to say to you that in the area of communication, maybe 4% of what is happening happens in the physical, external realm, and 96% happens in the unseen, internal realm? We need to move away from the belief that unless I'm hearing it physically, I am not hearing. That is a false belief that someone should have told us the moment we were saved. They should have said, hearing God, don't even try and hear with this ear. It's not this ear you hear with, it's this ear. How many of you, within a month after being saved, were taught how to hear the voice of God? Just raise your hand. Look around the room. Let's talk about it. I want to give you a couple examples. Hearing voices on the inside. I want to move away from the demonic. I want to move into the other two realms. My dad passed away about 9 years ago. Some of you are at the funeral. I appreciate you being there to support Jane and I and the family. Some of you will be able to relate to this. My mom still says, 9 years later, she says, when I'm out in the garden, when I'm in the house, when I'm doing something, she says, I can still hear Adam's voice telling me things in my mind. Is my mom disturbed? Does she need to be institutionalized? Is she demonized? No. What's going on in her mind? 50-some years of marriage, imprinted in her the voice of her husband back and forth. Let me tell you, I'm not even dead, and neither is Jane, and yet I hear her voice when she's not with me. I'll give you one example. I believe in miracles. This is Christmas. When the Holy Spirit lays on me to make our bed before Jane does, you're hearing miracle, right? When the Holy Spirit says, call and make the bed, Jane's downstairs doing her coffee, doing whatever, and I hear that and I go, okay, I'll make the bed. When I'm making the bed, I hear Jane's voice. Because Jane has a way to make the bed that is more important than me. If you took a picture of my bed make and Jane's bed make, you would be able to tell the difference. So when I'm making the bed, I'm hearing Jane's voice go, got to tuck this, got to do this, got to have this amount over the end, got to have this. This is where the pillow. I'm hearing her voice. I'm not psychotic. I'm just married. You know what I'm saying. Stop, Jane. Whoa. When you have the mic, you can speak, babe. You can do that. Let me just ask you a question. How many of you ever had a teacher that impacted you deeply, not just in the education part, but they took time with you as an individual? They asked, they invested in your life. And later in life, the voice of that teacher came back and you heard the voice of that teacher inside of you. How many of you have ever had that? A pile of us. How many of you have ever had a mentor in any area of your life that invested, they poured in, they loved you, you loved them back, you hear their voice? I got to just tell you, and I say this humility, I had someone the other day. They came to me and they said, Carl, when I get into certain circumstances, they go, the question I ask is, what would Carl do? What would Colin do here? And they go over and over. They go, I can hear your voice. I can hear what you would say. I can hear what you would say to do. We all do that with people. We all hear those voices. And I want to tell you the one that we probably hear the most. Whose voice do you hear the most? Your own. Okay. Just keep the camera on me so they can't see it. How many of you talk to yourself? Let's break this down. How many of you talk to yourself out loud? Break it down. How many of you talk to yourself internally? You got to know that's not unusual. That is normal. Because the vast amount of communication that takes place in our life does not happen outwardly through this. It happens inwardly through this. That's how we were made. The internal communication is how God made us. Now, what I want you to hear is this. When we hear our spouse's voice internally, it is because we've heard it externally. Then when they're not speaking externally, we hear it internally. We've heard it with our physical, then it goes onto the inside. It becomes part of our thought, part of our memory, part of our recall. We hear that voice. That's how that works. I want to transfer over to the spiritual voice. Let me make a statement, and I want the Holy Spirit to imprint this on you. We are spiritual beings. Let me correct something. We've all heard this statement. We are not human beings having a spiritual experience. We are spiritual beings having a human experience. We are spiritual beings having a human experience. Let me tell you, a couple weeks ago, as we stood beside the grave of our grandson, we talked about the fact that all we were doing is burying his tent. But who he is, who he was created, is living, is going to live for eternity. His spirit being is alive and well, even though we grieve the absence of his tent. You and I are not the tent we live in. We are spiritual beings that will live for eternity. Our tent has a finite time. Let me tell you really clearly, in the area of hearing the voice of God, if we come to a place where we begin seeing ourselves as spiritual as compared to physical, something opens up and an understanding changes. Let me say this clearly. God created us. Do you agree? God is spirit. God is spirit. Do you think that God, who is spirit, would create a physical being going, I have no desire to have a relationship with them. I'm spirit. They're physical. Grand Canyon in between. We can't relate. Do you think God would do that? God said, I'm spirit. I'm going to create you in my image. What is that image? Spiritual. You got to recognize when God speaks spirit language. He only dropped to human because of the hardness, but God speaks spirit language. And you and I are created spirit in order to hear that. Would you write this down? This is one of the things that God used in my life to awaken me during the early years of my faith that just took my being and literally shifted it. Would you write down Neil Anderson? And would you write down the book Bondage Breaker? How many of you have read Neil Anderson, Bondage Breaker? If you have not read it, let me say this. Victory Over the Darkness and Bondage Breaker, Neil Anderson's two books. If they were to burn every book on the planet other than the Bible and two books, I would grab Neil Anderson's Victory and Bondage. Let every other one burn. That's me. If you have never read them, and I just want to just say this for the sake, how many of you men have read Victory Over the Darkness? Men. How many of you men have read Bondage Breaker? The same six. Men, I want to say this specifically. I challenge you in the name of Jesus, pick up those two books and make them priority reading. I don't care whether you passed in school or not. Neil Anderson in Bondage Breaker, he made a statement in that book, and I've told you before, if I read a book and I get one thing out of it, to me it was worth reading the entire book. I'll read a 200-page sucker just to get one line. Worth it! Worth it! Have you ever read a book and got nothing out of it? Me too. Good for the fireplace. Don't ever pass it on. Don't ever give me a book you got nothing out of. Neil Anderson in Bondage Breaker, I read the entire book. I got piles out of that book, but he made one statement in there that profoundly affected my belief system. He goes, "Not every thought you have is your own." Not every thought you have is your own. Let me tell you what people just automatically by default think. And I did this for years. I even did this as a believer. The automatic thinking inside of a person is, if I have a thought going on and it's in my mind, it's got to be my thought. And let me ask you, if the thoughts I'm having in my mind are bad thoughts, what's the statement about me? I'm bad. When Neil Anderson made the statement, he said, "Not every thought you have is your thought." It opened up my belief system, and it was like, are you serious? Are you telling me that stuff is happening inside of here that is not me? And then it begs the next question. If it's not me, if those aren't my thoughts, whose are they? I'm glad you asked. I'm not going to address all of these today, but I want to write these down because for some of you who are listening, this is going to be, it's going to do with you what it did to me. We're going to write down three areas where our thoughts come from. The one realm is the demonic realm. I'm going to spend more time in this next week because the truth is there are many people who struggle. They have a struggle believing I can hear the voice of God, and yet they have no problem believing they can hear the demonic accusing voice all the time. Let me just say this. If you can hear spiritually, you can hear spiritually. Let me say it again. If you can hear spiritually, you can hear spiritually. The vast majority of people recognize that they are hearing stuff inside of their mind, and most of them recognize it is not good, it is not healthy. When they find out it's demonic, they go, "I've been hearing that demonic voice, some of them my entire life." This lady made the statement and said, "I have been hearing those voices my entire life." And if I asked her and said, "Do you hear God?" She'd go, "I don't hear God, but I hear demons." I would say, "Wonderful, you hear spiritually? I'm going to teach you to hear spiritually." When Neil Anderson says, "Not every thought is your own," some of them are here. Some of the thoughts are mine. God made me with a free will. I have a soul, which is made up of a mind, will, and emotion. Let me test you. You have the ability to think and make a choice as well. Right now, I would like you to think of a pink elephant. How many of you instantly made the choice and inside of you, you had the image of a pink elephant? Just raise your hand. How many of you have no clue what I'm doing right now? How many of you are writing and you're not raising your hand? Here's the deal. Right now, I had the ability with my free will to choose in this message to choose to think of a pink elephant. It kind of cheated because this morning when I went over the message and I said, "Lord, what example do you want me to use?" And the Lord just said, use Pink Elephant. It's one that's out there. I said, okay. So that wasn't my thought. That was the Lord's thought. But you know what I'm saying? In free will, I have the ability to think thoughts. So do you. Some of the voices inside of us are God's voice. What you are going to learn, what we're going to talk about, is all of us have been hearing demonic. All of us have been hearing our own. All of us have been hearing God's. The number one question when it comes to hearing God is most people say, how do I know what's mine? How do I know what's God's? How do I know what's demonic? The funny thing is, most people know the demonic more than they do God. And we're going to talk about why. Part of the reason is they've been listening to him longer, they're far more familiar, and they scream a lot louder. My thoughts, I can generate free will. We speak to ourselves. God, he puts thoughts in our mind. God is speaking. The enemy, fiery darts, external, or I'm just going to say this today, we're going to get at it. If there is a wound in a person's life, the enemy has the ability to enter through that wound and have messages that are internal that will never be spoken external. Unhealed wounds allows the demonic to speak internally, and we hear it sometimes for 30, 40, 50, 60 years or more. It's not even an outside voice, it's internal. We're going to talk about that, but not today. Would you write down 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5? Some of you know this off by heart. Take every what? Take every thought captive and bring it into obedience to Christ. We've talked about this before. I'm just going to touch it today. Here's what it says. When I come to a place of recognizing that not all that goes on in my mind has to do with me. I have influence from the demonic. I have influence from God. I have influence from myself. That I'm aware of, but this part I'm not aware of. When I have a thought go through my mind, what the scripture says is, take it captive. How do you do that? You catch your thought. We're going to talk about catching thoughts. If we could do this tangibly, I have a thought go through my mind, I'm going to catch that thought and I'm going to hold it away from me. And the first question I'm going to ask is, where did you come from? Who said this? As we begin walking in relationship with God, we have the ability to take our thoughts to God and go, God, was this from you? And if we hear God say no, we deal with it differently. When I began realizing that I had a pile of thoughts entering my mind that were not from God and they were not from me, and I began capturing them and identifying where they came from, for the first time in my life, I could take them, step them to the ground, step on them and go, you're not living in my mind. You're not staying in my living room. Crazy to think that God has given us the ability to choose what we think. Not to just have to deal with whatever comes in, but the ability to choose, the ability to capture, the ability to remove, the ability to put in what I want to be in there. The vast majority of people, even Christians, live their entire life like they are powerless. It's like my living room is open and whoever wants to come in and pollute and watch whatever they want, say whatever they want, smoke whatever they want, drink what... It's like my living room is open. People's minds are open going, I have no control. I just have to deal with whatever comes in. And if it takes me to depression, I guess I'll be depressed. If it takes me to low self-esteem, I guess I'll have low self-esteem. If it keeps me in unforgiveness, I guess I'll just keep it in unforgiveness. If it keeps me not feeling loved, I guess I'll just deal with not being loved. As compared to going, no, 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 no. There's been a pile of people who have written about it, but I think Joyce Meyer's captured the frame when she goes, the battlefield that needs to be won is right here. The battlefield of the mind. Let me say this really clearly. If you have not won the battle in your mind, you're losing. You're being stolen from. You're being lied to. Not every thought is your thought. you have thoughts that are coming to you from the demonic, can I just say to you, you young parents and those of you watching, can I just tell you really clearly as a parent, when you begin recognizing that much of what your children deal with is not their thoughts, you will parent differently. May touch on that later, may not. Take every thought captured, take every thought captive, bring it into obedience. Tell me where this comes from. As a man thinketh. Do you believe that? As a man thinketh. That is the Bible. That is scriptural. Now here's the crazy thing. There was a long period of my life I believed I was unlovable. The accuser of the brethren was really good throwing back at me things that I had done in my young years that disqualified me from God's love, from people's love. I believed that. I believed that I was not qualified for love. As a man thinketh, so is he. For me, that was true. The truth was, God loved me, forgave me, cleansed me. That truth did not set me free. It needed to be in here for me to be free. As long as I believed I was unlovable, I was unlovable. When people came and loved me, I disqualified it. The belief inside of me was, if you knew me the way I knew me, you wouldn't love me. You'd feel about me the way I feel about me. So I have to do everything in my power to make sure that my fig leaves are big enough that you really don't see me. Let me just tell you really clearly, people have been wearing masks a lot longer than COVID. Identifying the thoughts of God. I want to share this with you today, and we're going to come back because we're going to do this over and over until you get it. I'm going to have Jeff shoot these on the screen. All I want to deal with today is this one. How do I know when God is speaking to me? I want to say it again. There are people, I was one of them, who believe that God, I've never heard his voice. I don't know when it's God speaking, that have heard the voice of God their entire life. I love how Jude put it. When the revelation came, she goes, I have been hearing God forever. If I'm the enemy, I'm going to make sure you never get to that point. Because if you don't believe you're hearing with clarity, your confidence level will be at about zero. When you hear with clarity, there will be a boldness that if all hell came against you, you go, God told me, and I know it was him, so I'm doing it. I want to give you six things. Here's how God did it with me, and I pray this is a blessing for you. God speaks. Would you write down the first one? The thought of God. How many of you, going through your day, doing whatever you got to do, and all of a sudden, whatever you're doing, all of a sudden, you have a thought about God, and you just start thinking about God. He just came to your mind. You all of a sudden, you had an awareness. How many of you have ever had that? Yes. So for me, I would do that. I would be going through my day, and all of a sudden, the thought of God just popped inside of my mind, and I would go, God, thank you for reminding me that you're there. Thank you for coming to mind. I would think about that for maybe 5-10 seconds, and all of a sudden, I would forget about God again. I would carry on. Later in the day, the thought of God would pop into my mind again. And if I had 2 or 3 of those throughout the daytime, I thought that was awesome. What I didn't realize is I was living in spiritual poverty. But here's what God said. As he began teaching me in this area, and as I began recognizing to take the thoughts captive, when the thought of God came into my mind, this is what the Holy Spirit said. The Holy Spirit said, Colin, would any demonic voice ever speak to you and say, Colin, I want you to think about God now? Would any demon encourage you to think about God and his presence? Never would. And so I instantly began learning that every time I had a thought of God, it was not a demon speaking. And can I just say, you have likely never heard the voice of Satan. I don't think I've heard him either. Can I tell you why? Satan is an angel. He's only one place at one time. likely not one of us in this room are important enough for the devil to have actually visited us and spoken to us. Maybe when we are listening, we're hearing the demonic. We're not hearing Satan himself. Now, do I think Judas heard Satan? Yeah, we know he did. Do we think the Antichrist eventually is going to hear Satan? We know he will. When I'm hearing voices from the enemy, they are demonic. They are likely not the devil. When I had a thought of God, the Holy Spirit said, Colin, that did not come from the demonic. That was not a demonic voice. Would my flesh ever generate a thought of God? Let me tell you how not. I'd love it right now. We can't do it because of distancing and because of numbers, logistic. If you and I went to the street, and I've done this, go to the street, go to the store, you just stop and you ask somebody, and I've asked them, I've said, can I ask you, how many times did you think about God today? They go, God. I don't ever think about him. I go, thanks, that's all I need to know. How many people who are not Christian, people who are not filled with the Spirit of God, how many people out there do you think during the daytime, whatever they're doing is interrupted by a thought of God? I have talked to people who've gone weeks, months, years. The thought of God has not entered their mind. Can I tell you why? Is our flesh in line with God or is our flesh opposed to God? Just write down Romans 8, would you? The Bible says our flesh is diametrically opposed to the things of God. Now, I'll talk to you about this a little later. When God said to me, Colin, you can be deaf, dumb, and stupid and still know the will of God. I went, that's awesome, I qualify. We're going to talk about how, if all you and I do is know when the flesh is speaking to me, and we know when the flesh is speaking to me. I said to you earlier, when I heard about the health people coming in the door here, one of the thoughts was, wouldn't it be fun to mess up people's lives by reporting on them anonymously? I didn't have to go through the list and go, was that demonic? Was that God? That was my flesh. We're going to talk about how to identify the flesh. Here's the deal. When someone is coming at me and they're accusing me of things, they're hollering, they're running me down, my flesh on the inside, just like yours, wants to rise up and give back what they're giving to me. You ever felt that? When you know that that is your flesh, there may be some help from the demonic, but our flesh feels that. We know that's not of God. Don't even. When I know that's the flesh, and I know that my flesh is 180 degrees opposite the Spirit of God, I go, if that's what my flesh wants to do, okay, I want to curse you back. 180 degrees opposite. Oh, I guess I have to bless you. You're hollering at me, and my flesh wants to haul it back? Oh, a gentle voice turns away wrath. Are you hearing what I'm saying? We're going to talk about that. Some of you are like me, deaf, dumb, and stupid spiritually. We all begin there. But even there, if all we do is 180 degrees opposite of what our flesh wants to do, we're pretty darn close on track to the Spirit of God. But that's not how God wants us to live our life. What God showed me, I began realizing every time I had a thought of God, the demonic did not inspire me, and my flesh will never generate a thought of God. Every time the thought of God hit my mind, God said, I just spoke to you, Cole. I want you to write something down. I want you to begin thinking about what you're thinking. I want you to think about what you think. When I began realizing that every time I had a thought of God, that was God speaking to me, I remember when the Lord said to me, Call, get to know my voice. Become familiar with my voice. Every time you have a thought of me, that's me speaking. I want you to think about what is going on. I want you to think about the tone. I want you to think about what you're thinking. I want you to think about how it comes. I want you to become so familiar that when I give you detail, I want you to give that person $17.25 It's not the information, it's the voice. I don't have to say certain words for you to know my voice. You know my voice, which gives me the freedom to say anything. But if you don't know it's my voice, it doesn't matter what I say, it will not be clear to you. I want you to hear. Every time you have a thought of God, you know it is not demonic, and you know it is not your flesh. That's the voice of God. Let me give you a second. I'm just telling you how the Lord did it for me. Would you write down thought to pray? Let's just go through this, shall we? How many of you believe that a demonic would ever give you the thought, I would like you to pray for Bob right now? How many of you believe the demonic would inspire you to pray? Anybody? We've just eliminated. That's easy. If I went to the street today and I asked people and said, how many of you today had a thought you needed to pray for someone? How many people in their flesh would go, yeah, I get thoughts to pray for people all the time. What would they say? I don't ever hear the thought to pray for someone. Because our flesh will never generate to pray for someone. Never will. If I eliminate the demonic and I eliminate my flesh, every time I have a thought to pray, guess who spoke to me? Let me just ask you. Don't say it out loud. Just rack it up in your mind. I was thinking about this when the Lord and I were talking. Just rack it up in your mind. How many times yesterday did you have a thought to pray for someone that came to your mind, you had the thought to pray? I was thinking about it yesterday, and I said, Lord, I says, how many? The Lord said, about 300 call. I know now that every time there is a name and I get a thought inside of me to pray for them, I instantly, God just spoke to me. I know that. Now, I'm familiar with his voice to know that's coming, but even if I wasn't, just the fact that I got the thought to pray, go, I know whose voice that is. Because I know whose it's not. Are you hearing me? If I need the process of elimination to finally come and go, oh, I guess that was God, I can learn how God speaks to me. Let me give you another one. Would you write this down? Thought to read the Bible. Let me say it again. How many times do you think the demonic would inspire you to pick up your Bible and begin reading? How many times would the demonic inspire you? You will not get a demon who inspires you to pick it up. Why? Because he knows that faith comes by. How many times if I walked to the street and I got a secular, non-believing person and I said, how many times did you have a thought today to pick up your Bible and read it? What would they tell me? I've asked them. What would they tell me? Zero. Do you know why? Our flesh will never generate reading the Bible. It never will. Does it seem weird to you that every time you have a thought to pick up your Bible and read, that God just spoke to you to pick up his word? He just spoke. I don't want you to get hung up on what he said for you to do. I want you to get hung up on, think about what you're thinking. What did I just hear? How did it come across? How did God communicate? How did he speak to me to read my Bible? That is what I want to learn. Let me give you another one. Would you write this down? A thought to turn on praise music. Let me ask you this week, how many of you had a thought to turn praise music on somewhere? Work, car, home, somewhere. How many of you had a thought? Can I just say to you, God spoke to you. Elimination. How many demons would ever encourage you to listen to praise music, praising and worshiping and lifting up the name of Jesus? How many demons? Zero. How many people in their flesh would get the natural thought, I want you to praise Jesus, not yourself? How many? Zero. When you know who it's not, you know who it is, and then you go, I want to become familiar with that voice. I want to say this really clearly. I'm not going to talk about it today, but I just want to get it out there. There are people who say that you have to quiet yourself. You got to shut everything else down. You got to go into your room. You got to be heavy into devotions. You got to be heavy into the Word of God. You got to do all that stuff before you just get to a point where you have to work yourself up to hear the voice of God. Can I tell you something? Do you think that Jesus, in the midst of all that went on in his life, all the accusations, all the screaming, all the times they wanted to kill him, all the times that he was surrounded by the demonic, you think that he had to go silence himself to hear the voice? Or do you think that he was able to hear the voice of God with clarity in the midst of the chaos, the storm, the demonic attack? Let me say this to you. In Matthew chapter 10, when it says, the day will come when they're going to arrest you and you're going to stand before magistrates and you're going to have to share, he says, don't worry about what you'll say then. Why? Because it won't be you speaking, but me. Can I tell you, when we are familiar with that voice, it doesn't matter how loud it is, it doesn't matter how many demonic voices, it doesn't matter whether our flesh is screaming or not. We can pick out the voice of God. How many of us, I've been there, how many of us have made a mistake, we made a decision, whether it was morally or financially or relationally, it doesn't matter what. And then we go, you know what? Before I did that, I knew. I heard it already. Don't. I heard already. Here's the way of escape. I heard it. I heard it. I just ignored it. I heard it. Can I tell you, it doesn't matter what we're doing. God will speak in a way that we can hear, and then we can choose to be obedient or not, but we will hear it in the midst of the loudest of storms. There is never a time your flesh will generate the thought of, I want to go turn worship music on and exalt the Lord. Your flesh won't do it. And if any demon was ever caught encouraging you to worship God, what do you think would happen to him in the courts of hell? When the thought of worshiping, listening to music comes to your mind, you go, God, thank you for speaking to me. I'm going to turn the music on, but I want to become familiar with that voice. I want to give you two more. Crystal clear. Would you write this down? The thought to pray in tongues. Let's go through it. Just raise your hand. The demonic would inspire you to pray in tongues. Your flesh would inspire you to pray in tongues. Not a hand. Do you know why? Because we know who it's not. Every time we get a thought to pray in tongues. I'm driving into town yesterday. I got to come. I got to do a couple things in town. Got to stop at the store. I'm driving in. All of a sudden, the thought hits me, Colin, I want you to pray in tongues. Guess what I began doing? Praying in tongues. Guess what I didn't do? I didn't question, was that me? I wonder where that came from. I wonder if that's the demonic. I got to wrestle with this because I'm not sure whose it is. Can I tell you, our wrestling will often disqualify the voice. When there's no more wrestling, when it comes and I know God spoke to me, I just begin doing it. And I go, Father, thank you. Such that when I'm walking out the door and I'm in the vehicle and I'm driving down the lane and the Holy Spirit says to me, Colin, you forgot that document. I go, thank you, Holy Spirit. I turn around and I go back and get the document. Why? Because I became familiar with the voice. By identifying when he speaks, I learned how he speaks. Let me give you one more. Would you write this down? Listening to praise and worship music and worshiping can be the same thing. But there's a lot of times when people listen to worship music, they're not worshiping. Would you agree? There's a Grand Canyon between listening and engaging. Let me tell you very clearly, again, the demonic will never inspire you to worship God, lifting him up. Our flesh will never inspire you to lift him up. When the thought comes that says, Colin, I want you to enter into worship, being bombarded, being hammered, stuff coming at me, stress, I'm feeling this thing, and I hear the thought comes. The thought comes to my mind. I want you to begin to worship. I don't have to go through this anymore to go, I wonder where that came from. I recognize the voice, and I instantly begin to worship. Why? Because I go, God, you spoke to me. I'm going to be obedient. And that worship begins to break things. The darkness breaks off. Light begins to come. Clarity begins to come. All of a sudden, I begin experiencing peace. The sweat that I'm feeling because of the anxiety and all the thoughts begin disappearing. The sweat stops. Have you ever had that? I'll tell you very clearly, every one of us has God speaking to us. I want you to enter into worship. The vast majority of the church, when they hear it, go, not doing it. The vast majority of the body of Christ does not know how to worship. And let me say this really clearly. Coming into church on a Sunday morning, a half hour, 45 minutes, standing with your hands raised or with your hands in your pocket and sitting down, this is not the worship God is talking about. True worshipers know how to worship in private when they're at home, when they're in the vehicle, when they're in bed at night, they wake up in the middle of the night. True worshipers know how to enter into that worship. Let me tell you, every power of your flesh wants to keep you from worshiping, and every power of the demonic will empower you not to. You'll find a million reasons not to worship. I just want to give you one example before we close. Promise Keepers, powerful move of God for about 6-7 years before they had a turn. The whole ministry kind of collapsed. It's never been what it was meant to be. But during those period of years, we took busloads of people down to the States. I will never forget when Jack Hayford made a statement. And he says, in his quiet time, one morning with the Lord, he was having a quiet time, and he said, the Lord spoke to him and said, Jack, I want you to dance before me. Now, for many of us men, we would go, I know whose voice that is. That's a demon telling me to dance before the Lord. And I'm not going to dance because God would never ask me to dance before him. And so hell will thaw out before, freeze over before I will ever dance. And a lot of men have taken that position. Are you kidding? I will never flag. I will never dance. I will never do that before the Lord. And they've just shut it down. It doesn't matter what God says to them. They will shut it down. As a man thinketh, so he does. But Jack said God was wanting to take him to a new place. Jack in his church, he said, there are flaggers, there's people worshiping. He says, I always thought that was a little bit out there. I was too refined, too respectful, too self-conscious for that. In his quiet, private time, Jack said, the Lord said, Jack, I want you to dance before me. Process of elimination. Truth is, would a demon ever tell you to dance before the Lord? Our dancing is an expression of worship. For a demon to ever tell you to worship the Lord would be counter, 180 degrees counter to what they're all about. Does our flesh ever say worship anybody other than ourself? No, our flesh exalts ourself. Jack knew God was speaking to him. And because of that, he battled. He was all by himself. Have you ever been by yourself and been self-conscious? We won't talk about that today. In that place, Jack knew that God was speaking to him. Jack knew that God was stretching him beyond his boundary, beyond his belief system, beyond his judgmentalism, his criticism. I'll just say it really clearly. I know there are men, not just in this church, but other churches, when they see some of our men at the front flagging or worshiping, there's judgmentalism going on in their mind. They go, I would never do that. How awkward. What's wrong with him? I know that goes on, so do you. But when Jack knew that God was speaking to him, he knew God's voice, and he knew that God was asking him to dance in his presence, he said the battle raged. The flesh was screaming, I don't want to, I don't want to, I don't want to. It was the choice of putting the flesh down or putting the flesh on the altar. The flesh is on the throne of many of our lives. Guys, we know that. Jack describes his flesh having to get off of the throne and allowing God back on, and in the privacy, beginning to dance before the Lord. A lot of you men think this is absolutely nuts. And you go, I would never do this. I would never do this. Can I say this? If you knew that you knew that you knew that you knew this was God speaking to you and calling you into a place of deeper intimacy with Him, would you go, okay, I'll let you be God instead of me being God? I want to tell you one thing straight up. You will know God is speaking to you when you are given a choice. You will know the demonic is speaking to you when you don't feel like you have a choice and it is overriding your will. God will give every man the ability to go, God, I'm never dancing in your presence, privately or publicly. And He'll let us live there. And we'll stay in that little box. But once we know it's Him, when Jack knew that it was Him, Jack said, I'll do it. Any questions about any of this? We're going to talk about this in detail next week, because the truth is there are more in the body of Christ who hear the demonic clearer than they hear the voice of God. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about the flesh, knowing when our flesh is speaking, how to deal with that, how to shut it down, how to work with it, how to know when it's moving in the right direction. Dean. Great. So Dean is talking about, asked the question and said, what happens when I have a thought of God and all of a sudden I have a whole bunch of other things that come on and go, there is no God, or God is an angry God, or you can't trust God, or these other thoughts here. Is all of that a statement that this wasn't God speaking to me? Somebody asked me last week and said, if there's sin in my life, can I hear God? My response was, absolutely. How do you think non-believers get saved? Do you think God is limited to you and I being a believer before we speak? Do you think God is limited? Do you think there were people who were demonized who, because they were demonized, couldn't hear the voice of God? Can I tell you, demonized people need to hear the voice of God. It is the voice of God that frees them. And they need to hear the voice of God through you and me. They need to hear that. But demonized people will also hear the voice of God inside of themselves. But let me say this really clearly. When Jack got the statement and said, I want you to dance before me, and all of a sudden a whole bunch of other thoughts came. Were any of them flesh thoughts? You bet they were. Were any of them demonic thoughts? You bet they were. When the enemy says, bow down and worship me, and Jesus responded and said, who do we worship? Let me tell you, when the Holy Spirit says to you, and can I just say this really beautifully? I can't tell you how many people during the solemn assemblies who made a statement and said, in the solemn assembly and then in the war room, they said, right in the midst of it, the Lord said, I want you to start speaking in tongues. And all of a sudden they opened their mouth and they began speaking in tongues. Never spoke in tongues before. And they began speaking in tongues. When the Lord says, I want you to open your mouth and speak in tongues, do you think the demonic would do that? Do you think your flesh would? No. But when the Holy Spirit tells you to, all of a sudden it's like, oh, you're going to be a fool. Oh, no, that's not a God. Oh, that must be demonic. Believe me, the voices of the enemy will come after the voice of God is spoken. Classic example, Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve, don't eat from this tree. Did God really say? So here's the amazing thing. Jesus said, the voice of a stranger we won't follow because we recognize it. We're going to talk about how to identify the voice of a stranger, going, I know whose voice that is, and if I follow that, that's my choice, and I'm walking through that door into that lake of fire. But if I recognize the voice of a stranger, I will not follow that. Let me tell you, in these days, we need to hear the voice of a stranger and know it's the stranger. We're going to talk about that. That's a great question, Dean. Anything else? Betty? Yep. So Betty's statement was, she said, somewhere she heard the statement that our worship in public should be an extension of our worship in private. That's a great statement. The reality is, for the majority of people, their worship is confined to their public, and that is not even very worshipful, because their private worship does not exist. For the Holy Spirit to turn that around and go, my private, if you could see my private worship, my public is just, it's the icing, but this is the cake. Totally true, Betty. That's where we need to grow into. Sharon? Yep. So this is what Sharon's asking. When the thought of God comes, and then all of a sudden we become attacked over here, Sharon is asking, can the demons hear what God has spoken into us, and therefore, as a result of that, we begin to be attacked? It's a great question. We're going to talk about that in more detail, but let me answer what Neil Anderson talks about. Does God have the ability to read all of our minds? Does the enemy have the ability to read our minds? He does not. One of the other statements he says is, the devil cannot read your mind. But let me tell you what he can read. He can read your body language. He can hear what comes out of your mouth. He sees what you don't do. The enemy sees patterns inside of you. The enemy knows the weak areas of your castle. We're going to talk about this. I have never struggled with pornography, ever. That's not a weak area of my castle. Let me tell you, a weak area of my castle where the enemy has hit me over and over and over is performance orientation, having to earn my worth. So when God speaks to me about certain areas, when the enemy knows me, and can I just say this to you? The enemy likely knows you better than you know you. I just want to throw this out there. One of the prayers God asked me to pray years ago, and so I turned around. Can I just say this? When God asks you to pray something, pray it. It's usually a good idea. He's asking you to pray it so that he can accomplish something. So when he asks you to pray it, do it. When God said to me, Colin, I want you to pray that I remove every button that the enemy can push in your life, I prayed it. God, would you remove every button the enemy can push? Because I had a pile of them. So do you. The enemy cannot read our mind, but the enemy can read everything else that surrounds that. And next week, we're going to talk about two things. One is the fiery dart from the outside, and the second is the internal message from the inside. That is probably the more devastating voice of the enemy that we just take as ourself. We take as being true. External, we go, that's a lie. Internal, if it's internal, we go, it's got to be true. It's coming from inside me. It's a great question. Great distinction. Josh. Great question. So Josh is asking the question. He's saying, how about a neutral area? Here's a man at a gas station, and he hears what he believes God's saying to him, I want you to do a handstand. Have you heard this story? So the question is, how do you know? Two things. Number one, if we are struggling hearing the voice of God, what do? We take every thought, what? Handstand. I'm going to grab that thought, pull it out, and go, where'd you come from? Josh said really clearly, it's not the flesh, because the flesh to do a handstand in the middle of a gas station likely would not be make a fool of yourself, right? Now, even the thought of, why don't you make a handstand so everybody can look at you and go, oh, draw attention to yourself, that's likely demonic as well. Flesh may be, but. Here's the thought. I take a captive. If this is God right here and I have a relationship, I'm going to take this thought and go, God, is this from you? And I want to tell you, we're going to do this next week. One of the beginning, baby, kindergarten ways of hearing God is we go to God and say, God, all I need is a yes or no. I don't need details. I don't need to know $137.47, and you got to be there at this and such street at a certain time. Oh, that stuff is too complicated. We'll grow into that. Yes or no? God, can you do a yes or no? Is this thought from you? No. Not doing a handstand. If I take it to God, yes or no? God goes, yes. Okay. Fiery darts, whole pile. Flesh, whole pile. How many of you would do a handstand even if you knew it was God? Look at you. How many of you would do a handstand if you knew it was God? You would do a handstand? How many of you would go, even if it was God, I'm not doing it? Don't raise your hand. Okay, yeah, you wouldn't anyway. I know you. That's the one. If you don't know, you capture it, you take it to God, and you find out. And we'll talk about asking for fleeces for some of this because in our learning process, we need them. Here's the other. When I have learned to hear God so clearly out of those six, I know his voice. I know his voice. He could tell me to take all my clothes off and walk around Israel for 3 years naked. Okay, I know that's God's voice. By the way, did he ask anybody to do that?
Yes.
Yes? Yes? And all of our flesh does what? No! But when you know it's God's voice because you've learned to hear God's voice through the things that are 100%, you know it's him, you know it's him, you know it's him. When he comes and says something that is outside of those, you go, I recognize that voice. I know this is God. I'm pulling off my clothes and here I am going 3 years. I've told you the story. Some of you were here when I wore the diaper in church. Probably one of the most memorable messages I've ever gave. They don't know what I preached on, but they remember the diaper. What the flip? But I told you before, when I went to the washroom, standing at the urinal during the break, 85-year-old man who was visiting that Sunday stood beside me, and he says, wow. He says, that took a lot of guts. And I said, guts had nothing to do with it. I said, when I heard God tell me, this is what I want you to do to put an impression on those confirmation kids, when I knew that was God, who cares what you thought? God says you walked naked for 3 years, you know that's God. Who cares what anybody thinks? You think on Judgment Day I'm standing before you and you're going to determine my eternity? If you're not standing there, I couldn't care less what you think. I care about the one who's going to judge me for eternity. So you tell me to wear a diaper in public, I'll wear it. You tell me to go naked, I'll do it. You tell me to stand on my hands at a gas station, I'll do it. You tell me to get up, put my pajamas off, and go out to the mall and sit there, have no, I'll do it. When I know it's God, if I'm the enemy, I'll do everything in my power to make sure you don't know it's God, and therefore, you will not respond. The number one reason for disobedience is not sin, it is ignorance. God's changing that in all of us. Let me say it again. 100% in all these areas, you look and go, when that thought of God comes, I know it's him. When that thought of prayer comes, I know it's him. When that thought of worship comes, I know it's him. When that thought of praying in tongues comes, I know it's him. I don't want you to get caught up in what he tells you to do. You do it. I want you to get caught up. I want you to think about. So if anybody asked you to close your eyes and God spoke, and I said to you, how many of you are 100% certain that was God, you'd go, would you bow with me? Father, today, I want to thank you that you have prepared our hearts and our minds. You have opened up our ears. I thank you for the ears to hear today. I ask that everything that was from you would not be forgotten. But Holy Spirit, you would bring it back and bring it back and bring it back. Everything not from you, let it be forgotten now. I release a grace over every person who's resistant. Every person whose flesh is screaming, every person who is so familiar with the demonic, that the truth of your word and the desire to hear your voice is being pushed away, I release a grace that would break through and the hearing ear would come alive. I prophetically declare the words of Jesus, my sheep will hear my voice. I declare to you today what you already know. The Lord has blessed you, and he's keeping you. The Lord has caused his face to shine on you and he has been gracious to you. The Lord has lifted up his countenance upon you and has filled you with his peace. And the Lord has spoken to you and you have recognized that it's him. I declare that in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And everybody receiving said, amen. Can I just give you one more quick? Today you're going to walk out and somebody's going to say, how long was your church? Three hours and 15 minutes. Do you think that the demonic would inspire you to go to a church that would be 3 hours? No. Most of these ones are this long, and even that is long. How many of your flesh woke up this morning and the flesh said, I want to spend 3.5 hours in church this morning? How many of your flesh went, yes, I can't wait? No, none of our flesh. We had to shoot the sucker, and then the Spirit had to take over. Can I say to you, you're here because of this. Don't ever forget that. The thought of you even coming to a church that is this long is God speaking to you. Amen. Can we have some cranking music, please? God bless you. Have a great week.